True victory is self-victory. Episode 64. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. Hello, I think that I would like to start this episode off in a good classical style that always helps me clear my mind, and I hope that you could join me. We're going to just do a little deep breathing 1-2-3 exercise. So let's all begin. Just breathe in and hold it. And breathe out, focusing on that exhale. Let's again breathe in, hold it, and breathe out. Out, 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 out. Oh, okay, that clears my head always. And just breathe normally now. My name is Rhea Windcaller. I am the Response Training Program's CEO and founder. It's a crisis intervention curriculum, and you are listening to the Leading Chaos Podcast, where we do go over crisis intervention tips and kind of sort through what works, what doesn't work, and how we can move through the world safely and help others attain safety too. And of course, I always go to that breathing exercise because that's the first place I like to start. We're going to kind of get back on track now. I've taken a couple of weeks in past episodes to go off on little tangents, which are very fun for me and allows me to kind of process through what I'm doing and thoughts that I have along the way. When you're teaching a crisis intervention model, certain questions that come up from participants or queries that I have within myself are things that I like to talk about and really mull over and come out on the other side with hopefully some answers. And that's what we've been doing the past couple of weeks. And now we're going to get back to going to my book, Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. And the things I'm talking about this week will be linked to the show notes for this episode number 64. So there is a podcast site. And also, there you could also link to response training programs too. And that is a curriculum that you could bring to many different settings, whether it's a school, a nursing center, a hospital. Pretty much it's been in so many settings. It's not even like going to take the time to count. But I really see it more starting off with that first quote of what we talked about or what I read as we began this episode, that true victory is self-victory. And that quote is from the founder of Aikido, which is a Japanese martial art that I study and teach. And his name is Mariehu Ueshiba. And most folks kind of know him as O-sensei, which is a nickname, but a nickname with honor. He passed in 1969, but his legacy lives on in so many of his teachings and his words. And he has a number of beautiful, beautiful sayings. I have a little tiny pocketbook, and it's called The Art of Peace, and it was translated by John Stevens, and I've had it forever. And I also teach Aikido, and oftentimes for my students, I'll open this book and read something out of it. And that's where I wanted to start this week. I think last week, folks that listened to the podcast and heard the title Anniversaries Suck, or kind of like what's going on with Rhea. And, you know, it's my podcast, my ship, so my rules. So sometimes I get to kind of expose myself a little bit and work through some of the things that are going on for me. Because there I was talking about a 30-year anniversary of doing this work in crisis intervention. And that is a long time. So I just had to sort through how that impacted me. And I appreciate you giving me the liberty to do that, being a devoted listener in that way. Thank you very much. But now I want to get back to the book. And we're going to that chapter that I talked about in the last episode, called Cause No Harm. And I've been avoiding this, and I've had a little bit of time to think about it, and now I'm ready to dive into it with you. Mainly, I avoid it because it talks about the use of physical hands-on interventions in settings, and it's really my least favorite thing to teach. And yet, you would think, well, that doesn't make sense because she does a martial art. So I think where we want to start with in this journey of digging deeper into the book is talk to you a little bit about the martial art of Aikido, what it means to me, and why I started this chapter, Cause No Harm, with a quote from O-sensei, and I'm going to read it to you now. The way of a warrior is based on humanity, love, and sincerity. The heart of martial valor is true bravery, wisdom, love, and friendship. Those are his words, and it might sound incongruent from what one thinks of a martial artist, which might be portrayed on TV as like a go-get-em type of person. But for me, in my practice, and what I like to do with response is to really work on those principles of humanity, love, and sincerity. And the truth is that I think you listening, anyone listening to Lena Kaye's podcast and have gone through all the episodes with me, or even our new listeners, this is who you are too. You'd be clicking. I mean, it's easy to go to like the power over and the control and containment. But this is almost like a spiritual path to really be in love and humanity and sincerity. And out of that, I feel you need a lot of bravery. You need a lot of wisdom. And you are reliant upon friendship. The quote continues on with, emphasis on the physical aspects of warriorship is futile, for the power of the body is always limited. I'm going to read that one more time. Emphasis on the physical aspects of warriorship is futile, for the power of the body is always limited. Well, aren't those words to kind of live by? I mean, that's so true. The power of our body, you know, I said this earlier in episodes, that the body can be taken with or without a reason, but our mind can be taken away with only one reason, and that's that we allow it. So when we are faced with a conflict and in a crisis, it really comes down to our own tenacity and our ability to stay true to our own spirit and know that we have to excel in this, in our own wisdom, in our words, and in technique. What I would call my technique is I'm using the response protocol for intervening, and to use that as my basis, because in the end, you know, as long as you've been practicing, and I've been practicing for a long time, as long as I've been doing the response model, I've been involved in Aikido for actually over 30 years. I've been involved training in Aikido. And even then, my body can be taken with or without a reason. It's kind of like that Indiana Jones clip where the guy comes out with like a whip going all around, and he had really good, you know, technique with the whip. And when Indiana Jones confronted him, I guess he just came out and shot him. I mean, that could happen, right? It doesn't really matter what your physical skill is. There's always going to be somebody more physically skilled, or there's going to be a new weapon of destruction that's going to come through. And that is a key there. And that is why Aikido really has informed me in my work professionally in the field of crisis intervention. In that I see that the highest goal I could achieve is not to power over someone and not to meet violence with greater violence, but to change that paradigm upside down and disprove that idea that is the only way to do it, because there's so many more options. And that's what we're here on this chapter of Cause No Harm. I kind of consider myself one of the lucky ones in crisis intervention, because when I started off in this field, Aikido was the first martial art that I was introduced to. And it wasn't that I was totally gung-ho. In fact, when I was in college, I first tried doing a little bit of Tai Chi. Then I also went to another class in karate. And then I was moving around. I was really involved in backpacking and hiking. But somehow Aikido kept coming back to me. And then when I was working in the state in a program for outdoor education, I was able to join into a program for instructors to be in crisis intervention. And it was being led by three men. In fact, I was the only woman in the entire class, and it was all correctional based. I was working with adjudicated adolescents, but these guys were all working with adults and coming from the correctional facility. They're pretty big, and I actually benefited from it because I had so many different body types to work on, and they were so kind to me. And the three instructors really stood out. One was Taekwondo. The other one used Hapkido, and that's different than Aikido, at least as I see it. Hapkido is a much more focused on joint locking, and I feel my study of Aikido is not locking the joint and not going to that level, but really knowing how to, I could help maneuver a person so that they are having that freedom of movement. And that's just how I practice it. I mean, some people don't, but that's how I've always practiced it. So that gentleman who really stood out for me, who did Aikido, was such a deep mentor for me. And I've spoken about him before, Richard Gere. I remember when he stepped out into the instruction area. And again, this was at a correctional facility. And he just had so much joy. So that's the first place that I start at. When I think of cause no harm, I think of what is my spirit line? Am I in joy or am I bringing anger and aggression into my workplace? Because you could pick that person out a mile away if they're not in a good mood. And truthfully, it's unsafe for them and anyone else that they're interacting with to go in and think that you could maintain professionality when, I don't know if that's a word, but to maintain your professionalism when you're in a bad mood. But Richard Gere was just so amazingly kind and confident. I think that's also what really stood out. And I knew that his goal too was to cause no harm. And, you know, here he was very, very proficient physically. But the one thing he would tell me that he most enjoyed doing was to just pull up a bench next to an inmate's room. You know, had the kind of the bars in front and just listen to them. That listening was the best gift you could ever give a person. And I was, you know, barely 21 years old and taking this course from this guy, and it just blew me out of the water. It made sense to me in that kind of naivete that one has when they're very young, but also in anything I'd ever been taught from my own family to work out of kindness. So that was my first introduction to Aikido, and I didn't really train with him other than in actual real life kind of situations. And he taught me how to maneuver, how to move, and it was just so graceful and beautiful. And then I started studying it very intently back in 1986. So there's a lot of history there for me. And part of it is just learning to move with an inner sense of calm and having that balance. It's such a special reward and really moves me forward to continue in the practice. Now, you might be listening to this and thinking, oh man, I can't do it. And you know, you might not be able to because you might not be able to find an Aikido dojo where you are. I think they're far and few between for lots of reasons because it takes a lot of practice to be able to get at a certain proficiency. I'll be teaching an Aikido class this evening as I do every week. And I know that I have a special class because we're not really focused on, well, what color is your belt and what rank you are, but we just do it purely for the joy and for the movement and for our own self-victory. So going to that initial quote, that true victory is self-victory. So how does that work for you? When you're faced with that crisis in front of you, and that person is really trying to get your goat so intensely, how do you move through it? Now, I want to go off tangent, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of a story and something to think about until we chat again. You know, this is really kind of off kilter, but there's this vineyard called Bully Hill, and it is in New York State. And the family that own Taylor Wine, the son, opened up a Bully Hill Vineyard. And when he was young, he's an amazing artist. I'm not even sure if he's still alive. I hope he is. He was supposed to be like, there was a program for astronauts where you could go out into outer space. And he was the astronaut that was going to be able to go out into outer space and represent artists. Just like when that awful Challenger blew up and you had the woman who was a teacher. So there was a program in NASA taking out different disciplines. And I guess after that Challenger mishap, the program died out. But anyway, so he had Bully Hill wine, and you could get it in the U.S. Now, a very interesting thing happened. Taylor Wine Company, that his family sold the rights to and that he was an heir to, was just down the hill from Bully Hill. And they basically sued him and said that he couldn't use the name Taylor Wine in any of the Bully Hill labeling. And he had it all written all over the place. And Bully Hill wasn't too far from Cornell University, or isn't too far from Cornell University. So he got a bunch of Cornell students to come over and gave him magic markers and said, I'll give you like a case of wine, you know, if you mark off Taylor on all these labels, because that's the only thing you could do. You couldn't take off the labels. So lo and behold, you know, they're drinking and, you know, some of the marks are getting a little skewed as time goes on. And that's the way he kind of got this saying, you could take my name, but you can't get my goat. And he even actually drove a trailer down the hill to the big, and we're talking Taylor Wine's huge. It's a big corporate kind of winemaker now, with big tanks full of wine, with a trailer with a goat on the back. And again, that saying, you could take my name, but you can't get my goat. What gets your goat? Because if you find out what gets your goat, then when that trigger point happens during a crisis, you can remaneuver and step off the line of attack. That's the way of the warrior. That's the way that we train in Aikido. And that's what every professional crisis intervener is all about. Finding out what is your trigger point. And another way to call that is what gets your goat. And moving on. So self-victory is true victory, isn't it? If you could find that point. And for me, you know, when I think about what gets my goat, it's really one major thing is when it's really unexpected. And so it doesn't happen so much at work because I have a lot of compassion, I think, that really moves me forward. More often what gets my goat is when I'm with friends and family. And this might be true for you. And I thought that I could be in a trusting position, but for whatever reason, that trust has been compromised. And that throws me in a real tizzy when I thought that person that I could trust, I can't trust anymore, and that they are working against me for whatever reason. And that happens both with friends and families. Fortunately, I could say it's been very rare. But it's happened enough to really make me take note of that and realize that I can't do that. That's one. And I guess the other one is if my family's ever in danger, that kind of gets my goat. And, you know, it's kind of like the things like doctors shouldn't work on their own patients. It's true for me as an EMT. If somebody in my family's injured, I put my head between my legs. But if I don't know you and you're injured, I'm really, really good. So those are some of the things that get my goat when it gets very, very personal for me. And I have to work on it. I'm not perfect. and that's okay, isn't it? All right, so that's some thoughts for you until we meet next time on the Leading Chaos podcast. Meanwhile, if you dig what you're hearing, if you like the podcast, and I know you do, there was a recent, iTunes review, 5-star rating, and it was written from the U.S. by Sweater Guy. So thank you, Sweater Guy. And it says, great interviews and tips on chaos intervention with a smiley face. The quality is great, and I'm excited to hear more. Well, you know what? That simple little note that you wrote there, Sweater Guy, propels me to move forward too. So thank you very much. And if you, any of you listeners out there, feel propelled forward as a Sweater Guy did, please leave a review and rating on iTunes. That would mean a lot. And again, the show notes to this episode, you could go to leadingchaospodcast.com. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. As always, be kind, be safe, and don't let them get your goat. Ciao for now.